I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 58.
This is Italian Greyhound Coat Colors.
It was red and yellow and... No, that's Joseph's coat.
Yeah, there's...
Sorry.
Red is yellow, no.
No.
Peach, no. Violet, no.
But could you imagine?
A full rainbow of Iggy's.
So this episode is going to cover all of the different colors that you find in Italian Greyhounds. We're going to briefly talk about a bit of the genetics, although we're not experts in any of this.
Right. We did a little bit of research for this, more than just listing off the colors. So how the colors relate to each other, what causes the different colors to come about.
And what different patterns there are, and what is breed standard and what is not.
So I want to say right at the beginning that this feels a little silly to be doing a podcast episode about colors, but I think we've got some really interesting, some cool tidbits that's worth listening to. But if you would like to have a visual representation, there's two articles that I'm going to point you towards. One is from thelifeofnello.com.
Who you may know from Instagram, The Life of Nello.
They did a great blog post about Italian Greyhound colors and included pictures of actually lots of dogs that we know.
That was so fun.
And then there's another one from showdog.com that talks about the breed genetics and coat colors. And they've got a really great illustration that shows these different colors that Iggy's come in. So those and a few other articles will be in the show notes of this. And I was just thinking, I'm not sure if people would know what the show notes are. But if you're in your podcast app, say you're in Apple Podcasts on your phone, as you're listening to the episode, if you scroll down, there will be a description of this episode and some links in what we call the show notes. That can also be true on Spotify. And if you're listening on a computer, then it will either be on the page that you're listening to, so like on Anchor or on our website, we will have the description. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts on the computer, there's a little I information button in the top right corner, and you can click that to get all these links. I was just thinking, I feel like a lot of our listeners are not heavy podcast listeners like we are. I don't even know if you would have known
the term show notes. Speak for yourself, babe. No, I'm also new to podcasting and new to podcasts, but I feel like sometimes, yeah, I wouldn't know to go to the show notes for links and things like that, and just saying it is not as helpful as giving the whole spiel. Thanks, yeah. Babe.
And as always, you can find the dedicated webpage for this at theiggyparents.com/podcast/EP58. And that's kind of the formula for all of the episodes. If you're ever listening back or listening in the future, you can find the webpage there.
Shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
So first here, we have a list of the standard colors. We're going to go through all of the colors you would find in the standard Italian Greyhound breed and give you a little description of what it means, because not everyone makes total sense.
And then after we have talked about all of the colors, we're going to talk about where Adelaide and Phoebe fall in this entire list. And then we will talk about different patterns and then a little bit about what we've learned about genetics and how that can affect these colors.
And the breed in general.
Yeah.
Just the history and how they came about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First standard color we have here is black. According to the resource we were using, apparently black is a little bit more uncommon, but very sleek.
I agree. They usually have a shine to them.
Yeah,
it's a dark
and
color.
Well, this will make sense in 1 second, but I do feel like it's hard to tell sometimes if an Italian Greyhound is fully, truly pure black.
Mm-hmm. Because another option for them is seal, which is not a term that we knew before this. So you're off the hook if you had never heard this term before. But it is usually a shade of brown, so as dark as nearly black or as light as liver. again, another term that I had not heard.
We had to look that up.
But liver is basically chocolate brown. So if you think of a chocolate lab, their technical color is liver.
And another trait of the seal color is no matter where they are on the spectrum of brown, there usually is a darker stripe down the back. So sometimes it's hard to tell between seal and black.
Next on our list, we've got sable, which is a dog that has red hair that is tipped with black. So that is the feet and muzzle and tail, and is sometimes an ombre of red or a darker brown that fades to black.
I think sable Iggies are really beautiful.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean, all Iggies are beautiful. I just looked through the list of colors and next one up is cream. And I'm like, oh, cream Iggies are so cute. But cream is a lighter and paler version of fawn. So it's not completely white, but I think cream is a really good word to describe what a cream Italian Greyhound looks like.
And as you'll hear when we talk about patterns, cream is actually separated out from a lot of the colors in a very particular way.
Right. And again, like we said, not all of these words match exactly to what you think the color is.
Mm-hmm.
So seal, I think of seal and I'm like, oh, a baby seal. And I think gray.
Yeah, I think gray too.
So don't be fooled. Seal is a shade of brown.
Next, we have blue. So
I'm blue. Dup, dee, dee.
So blue is almost like a metallic gray. It is actually a dilution of black. So this dilution of black sort of makes sense because I looked up the definition of dilute, and it is to make thinner or weaker by adding water or another solvent. So you could think of mixing paints. If you were mixing black with a little bit of white, that would dilute the color of black and you'd end up with a gray. I do not, however, know the history or the origin of it being called blue. Do you know the origin of the term blue? Did you find that anywhere in your research?
I did not, other than the blue-gray kind of metallic reference.
So that is still a mystery to us. If you know, let us know. In our research, it looks like blue actually is a good way to describe the gray that dogs are, that they are kind of a color, a shade of blue.
Right, because it's the dilution of black.
Mm-hmm. So there is that color in there.
Very cool.
Yeah. Red is another color that is used to describe Iggy coat colors, but they're not like Clifford the Big Red Dog. They're actually just a deep, rich color, kind of like a dark reddish shade of brown. Next up is fawn, which is kind of a tan color, and they are often darker down the back, similar to seal Iggies. And it's occasionally accompanied by a black muzzle. So it would be an all tan dog with a black muzzle, which would be kind of like a pug. Just trying to think of other examples of dogs that are maybe a little more well known than Iggies. Next up, we have red fawn. So it's very similar to fawn, but it has a darker red tint to it. And then we have blue fawn, which, like regular blue, is actually a dilute of red fawn. So this is what I was saying about cream. All of the colors, except for cream, can be paired with white.
Well, all of these colors described are breed standard. There are a couple of markings that would disqualify someone or disqualify an Iggy from the breed standard if you were bringing your dog to a confirmation dog show. And that would be 1, brindle, and 2, tan, if you think of the tan and brown colored dogs.
Like a Doberman Pinscher.
Or the miniature pinscher.
Yeah.
You know, the one close in size.
And this is theorized that these are not allowed because it indicates crossbreeding.
Because brindle is a common coat pattern for whippets.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe greyhounds as well.
But brindle does occasionally pop up because Iggies almost went extinct. Didn't
what?
Know that before researching this podcast episode.
What a dark time in history.
Yeah.
What happened, Ryan?
It was during the World Wars that there was just not enough demand for these tiny luxury lap dogs. So there were not enough dogs going around to keep the breeding lines strong enough. So they were crossbred with Whippets to keep the population up and repopulate.
Right. And the AKC determined that the Brindle and the Tan were not to breed standard, also because they were so signature of the miniature pincer and of the Whippet. They didn't want to confuse between those breeds, especially.
So now that we have gone through the whole list of possible colors, should we talk about what our dogs are?
Yes. Adelaide is seal. Adelaide is more close to the liver color that was described, but she still has a dark nose. So she is still breed standard seal.
And definitely has the dark stripe down her back.
Absolutely.
Along her spine.
When we first met Adelaide as a puppy, our breeder described her color to us. And she said, well, she's actually a little bit more on the brown side of things as opposed to being close to black. I said, oh, but she looks fully black to me. What do you mean? Then she held up Adelaide to the sunshine outside and I could see the brown clear as day. Oh, yeah, that's a chocolate brown little puppy.
Mm-hmm. And then Phoebe is, we think, blue fawn.
You could argue that she's blue.
With some lighter patches.
But her mother is the same color and could also be described as blue fawn because of the undertones, like very strong undertones. Sometimes I look at Phoebe and she does look fawn to me. Mm-hmm. Like in the light, if you see her colors, maybe it doesn't come across in photos or videos, but definitely there's like blonde parts behind her neck. And even throughout her whole coat across the side of her body, just like I see the chocolate brown of Adelaide, I do see sort of that fawn undertone.
And I think this really highlights something interesting about these colors is that they all are on a spectrum.
Which makes things confusing and subjective.
Yeah. So Adelaide, being a really light colored seal, could stand next to a dog that is almost black, look completely different, but still be classified as the same color because they would have the same underlying genetics that would lead to their pigmentation.
Next up, we've got patterns.
So this is, again, going to be something that is somewhat hard for us to describe. So I'm going to point you again to the show notes and an article that we have from doggenetics.co.uk. It is a great site that talks about what leads to white in dogs. I especially love their graphic talking about the spread of white, and that is going to be very obvious once we get talking about the white that gets mixed in with these colors.
So first of all, I didn't know this until after we became friends with some European Iggies, but it is not breed standard in Europe to have patterns other than solid.
Oh, I actually didn't realize that.
Blowing your mind right now, babe.
Wow.
That's why you see so many European Iggies are solid.
For sure.
And I think it's more rare to come across solid Iggies in North America.
Mm-hmm.
I do know people that are searching for solid Iggies, and they have to specifically look at breeders who are breeding for solid.
One thing I will highlight about the solid pattern.
Just describe it. What is a solid pattern?
So it is entirely one color. They may have some white on the chest, belly, or feet while still being considered solid, but it's good to note that it can also be darker and lighter across the body. So how the fawn or seal can have this dark stripe and then lighter down their sides. If they were entirely that without any white, they would still be considered solid. I can see someone not knowing what that term means and like going to a dog show and seeing a dog that's like some sort of ombre and being like, that dog's not a solid color. It's like, no, it relates to the amount of white that they have.
And where it is.
Yeah.
Right? Like if they had fully white paws or a full tip of the tail white,
then they might be considered Irish. So this is a white pattern with a collar of white that doesn't go too far down the legs. It can also be then on the face, on the tip of the tail, and at the paws.
Right. So the white doesn't go too far down the legs or the head. And I think that that's the correct description for our dogs, both of them, because our girls have a little bit of white on their head and it goes down the neck, but it doesn't go beyond that. And they've got sort of, I like to think 3/4 length sleeves.
Yeah.
And they've got it on their chest, white on their chest, and both of them have it on the tips of their tails.
And white bellies.
Oh, yeah, white bellies, of course.
Yeah. So a fact that I really liked that I came across in our research for this is the origin of the term Irish. I was like, why? What does that have to do with white spreading across the dogs? And it actually comes from Leonard Doncaster in 1905 when he was doing research on the patterns of wild rats in Ireland.
What?
So there is a pattern on these rats called hooded, where they have an entirely colored head and then the rest, kind of the rest of their body is white. And he used this term to describe a specific pattern, which then got transferred over to
dogs
and their patterns.
So there's Irish and then there's wild Irish. And this is just a further spreading of the white on the legs, head, and body.
So I think this, again, is something that is subjective.
Right, because I think that I've asked people on the internet, what color do you think our dogs are? And I have had people guess wild Irish. But again, subjective. After talking to our breeder, we were leaning more towards just Irish, because there might be other dogs that exemplify wild Irish more accurately.
The last general term for the spread of white and these patterns is pied. So that is one of the most common patterns, according to our research. But it is splashes of color on a mostly white background.
Think of a canvas.
Yeah.
Splashing the paint.
Makes me think of Jackson Pollock just like throwing paint.
I don't know if it's that far, but...
Just like him at the beginning of his work.
Bam.
Yeah.
Pied as well. I look at it and I thought it was pied. It's P-I-E-D, just so you know how to spell it. And we have some lovely pied Iggy friends.
Next, we've got a couple of specific variations. So we have a split face, which is an unusual variation of pied, where pied is usually a solid or white head with patches on the face. This specifically is when half of the face is colored and half of the face is white. And then lastly here, we've got red with a black mask. So as we were saying, fawn with a black mask is just normal variation of that color. But then red with a black mask can be classified as its own pattern.
What is residual white?
Residual white is when there is a small amount of white on the chest or the toes or the tail that actually comes from the development of the embryo and when there's some kind of problem. So it's not from the genes. It's sometimes like a minor illness in the mother, but there's no particular gene basis in the way that this spreading of white is. And I just want to define that term here because the spread in this situation is metaphorical. It's not like the spread happens on any particular dog. But there is, like I said, a great graphic on doggenetics.co.uk that we've listed in the show notes. But it is to say that the white starts at the farthest edges of the dog. So tips of the tail and the feet and the
extremities.
Nose. Yeah. And then it spreads to this Irish, wild Irish pied. So basically, you would not expect to have a fully colored dog with white patches in the way that you have a white dog with colored patches, and that would be pied.
Right.
Anyway, I think this is interesting. I'm definitely going to notice these patterns more at the next Iggy meetup.
Absolutely.
Thinking about, oh, is this dog solid? Is this dog like wild Irish? I often think of the color that they are, but off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what their patterns are. So I think that's going to be fun for our next Iggy spotting adventures.
Yes. And then we also learned about something, ticking marks.
Well, we learned the term for this.
Oh, well, we knew what it was.
It's something we had seen. Because it is basically freckles on an Iggy. So they appear under the coat and do not affect the color of the fur. So if you think of the white fur on a dog, usually under that is pink skin. But they sometimes have these ticking marks that are a dark mark on the skin, but with white fur on top. And we have noticed in Adelaide that basically they get bigger in the summer. Like they become more pronounced with sun exposure, kind of in the same way freckles do on humans.
I feel like it must be the same thing. So that was patterns. We've talked about colors that are standard, breed standard, and we've talked about patterns. And now, just again to say, we are not experts in genetics. However, we spoke to our breeder, who has taken a course through a geneticist at the Institute of Canine Biology. And we've been discussing with her, how do you breed dogs? And do you know anything about what coat colors are going to come from a litter?
Yeah, because that is something that I never would have expected before we got to meet Adelaide's litter, honestly.
Right.
That different colored Iggies come from the same litter.
Right. That was like blowing our minds.
Yeah.
That we could have multiple dogs with different coat colors from the same two parents in the same litter.
I think I would have expected that that would come from like multiple insemination. Like if a dog got out and a female dog got out and found multiple male friends, then that might lead to that situation. But no, it's within their DNA to have these different colored puppies.
Much like humans have different genes, and two different people might produce children that have different hair colors or different eye colors.
Right. It just happens to happen all in one litter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
the more you think about it, the more it makes sense, but it just had never occurred to me.
It blew our minds.
I kind of would think of these dogs like twins, but it's more like multiple births happening at once. Anyway.
So our breeder also confirmed that European standards are solid colors for Iggies with minimal white. So in order for a European breeder to breed Italian Greyhounds, they're going to try and breed solid dogs with solid dogs. That helps to produce the same pattern. It just increases your chances of producing a solid because there's a separate gene that causes the white markings. So when you're color naming a puppy, it also depends on their nose pigment. So, and this is a story straight from our breeder. Our breeder said, I thought Adelaide might have been chocolate, but she has a dark nose. I don't call colors until I see the color on the noses. Sometimes they are born with them. More often they are pink and slowly come in dots within a few days.
And we have also seen that same sort of thing happen with her paw pads, that they used to be entirely pink. And over her life, over the last 2 years, they have darkened. So I guess the nose just, that happens sooner than the paws do.
Right. And I don't think the paws have anything to do with what coat color you classify them. But also, I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at Iggy's paws. Are all Iggy's paws black?
I think not. Because
stay tuned for...
because not all Iggy's nails are clear or dark.
Right.
So I think I would assume, this is my speculation, that the dark colored nails would come from the same gene origins as the dark colored fur. Yeah.
Again, from our breeder, there are also things like blue to blue or blue fawn that they only produce blue and blue fawn, and they have a higher chance of white.
But then there's also a chance of a double dilute gene, which is what happens when there can be pure white puppies or somewhat albino looking puppies, which then can actually lead to other genetic problems like deafness or blindness. So these are the kinds of things that monitoring the coat colors and the genetics that lead to these coat colors can be indications of other things that happen. So in the same way that a brindle would tell you that
potentially
crossbreeding had happened, the pure white from the double dilute might indicate that there might be some other health issues.
So Ryan, what are the two basic pigments that determine the color of all dogs?
White and black. That's my guess.
It's actually black and red.
Oh, it was half right.
Yeah.
I guess white is like an absence of...
Right. So we were talking about pigments. It's
yes.
Two colors.
Okay. Cool.
And red and black are dominant when you're talking about red Italian Greyhounds and black Italian Greyhounds. So blue fawn and blue are also dominant in the sense that they are dilutes of black and red. Yes, no?
Yeah, that makes sense. For example, two of the dogs that she had, one was red and one was black, only ever had seal and red together because seal is a dilute of black and red. Well, red is red.
Red, red is red.
And it is when you have two non-dominant gene pools together, that's when you get these rainbow litters like we were talking about.
Like Adelaide's litter.
Yeah.
So our breeder gets genetic testing for the dogs to, of course, you know, look at the genetics of the parents, the mom and the dad that are being chosen to breed. But also it gives you an indication of the coat colors that might come. So often we talk about genetic testing because we're personally talking about trying to avoid illnesses that are common in the Italian Greyhound breed. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting as well that you can kind of predict the puppies that will come. And our breeder said that non-dominants together produce rainbow litters. So if you're looking for rainbow litters, that's how you know. Try your best to choose a mom and a dad that are both those non-dominants.
So I think that is a great thing for breeders to keep in mind, like this non-dominant mixing and the genetic testing that can lead to different things and tell you about the different coat colors. But as Iggy owners, I'm going to say that you shouldn't necessarily pick your dog based on the color.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter.
It does. Yeah. It really doesn't matter.
The thing that matters most is the health of the dog, mm-hmm. and the socialization of the dog.
Oh, yeah.
That it grew up in good conditions with a good breeder that really cares about the health and really the preservation of the breed in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is fascinating to figure out all these different colors and what do they mean. And if we do happen to show Phoebe, it'll be very exciting for us
yeah.
to learn all about the different Italian Greyhounds that show at dog shows.
Mm-hmm. See what kind of things they're looking for and how she's classified and all that kind of stuff. Be fun to look at.
So if we've horribly confused you with any terms we've used today, blame Ryan. No, just kidding.
No, this is a team effort.
It was. If you do have any questions, of course, always reach out to us if you have any input. And check our show notes if you would like to cross-reference anything that we've referenced today. And,
stay colorful out there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at the Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.